canine detection collaborative, a detection dog training trio with Stacey Barnett.
Hi.
Robin Grubel.
Hey there.
And Crystal Wing.
What's up?
With humor and a big dose of theory, our trio talks practical training advice and features interviews with top trainers and scientists.
It's Canine Detection Collaborative!
Hi, this is Stacey Barnett from Canine Detection Collaborative, and I am here with my two co-hosts, Crystal Wing.
Hello, friends.
And Robin Grubel.
Howdy.
And you guys make me laugh. It's like, it's always different. So we know that the episode drop today is on Halloween, October 3rd.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Right. Scary, right? That was supposed to be my scary voice. I don't know how scary it was, but it was supposed to be. So typically what we do after we interview a guest is we do a reflections episode, and we just released two fabulous episodes. They were definitely fabulous with Lee Laubach, who is both a arson canine handler and a nose work judge, instructor, and soon to be certifying official, and fabulous, fabulous guest. Usually we do a reflections episode right after that.
But well, Halloween got in the way.
Halloween got in the way. So all of a sudden we have this like October 31st. We're like, oh, we can't let this
opportunity.
Yeah, opportunity. Exactly. So we decided that next week we're going to do the reflections. So we're not skipping reflections. Don't worry, guys. We're going to do lots and lots of reflecting. And I guarantee you that's going to be a great episode. But today we're going to have a scary topic instead.
It is scary.
It's very, very scary.
I'm afraid.
I am so afraid of this topic. So what is our topic, Crystal?
Fear.
Fear.
Dun, dun, dun.
Right.
Here's the thing. I don't know if we're going to have a lot of answers, but we can definitely share a lot of fears, and maybe that will make people feel like they're not alone. So if you want some answers, maybe, but if you want to feel like others out there have similar fears, then you're at the right place, friends.
Yes.
Because I ended up asking some of our training buddies, and I asked my club mates, and I said, throw them at me. What are your fears? Uh-huh. So we're going to throw some of those in there, and then some things that we've been thinking about too.
Yeah.
So Robin, what are you afraid of? Start us off.
Yeah. What are you afraid of?
Not remaining relevant.
Oh,
that's a big one.
That is a big one.
It is a big one, especially big when it is when you're self-employed.
Yes. It's hard because it's my income. I'm running up onto, thank goodness, I have a wonderful intern. I have puppies coming and I'm having knee surgery.
Yeah.
And
you're having puppies.
And I'm having puppies. The only way I can have puppies is because Julia's here. And so plus about 500 other things, including finishing up the building. I have time to train dogs and do all of the rest of the stuff that's going on in my life. I don't have time to be out on social media doing marketing. Yeah. I have time to podcast, and that's about it.
Yeah. And even then we have to, like, you know, you should see our Facebook, like our messenger, like, when are we going
to
do this?
Schedule, when are we going to do this?
I'm really busy. I got
that. Right.
And then we find out, and then we get together.
Yeah.
How do you stay relevant? Like, what is your plan to stay relevant? Or what does that mean to you to be relevant?
To be out there and be seen as somebody at the end of the day, we're talking about selling seminar spots.
Yep.
And I typically this time of year have scheduled 3 or 4 webinars, but because I don't think anybody wants to hear me talking about dog training when I'm high on pain meds.
Oh, that could be fun.
Actually,
we could get all the secrets. All the secrets. You just had your knee surgery. Robin, I have a question.
I think it's round table time.
Yeah. So, but if I wasn't trying to, I mean, today it was literally between consulting work And I didn't get any dog training in for anybody who is keeping track of my sticker saga. Yesterday and today, zero stickers on my calendar.
Yeah.
Now there will be stickers on my calendar the next 3 days because I'm doing dog stuff. But I finished all the electrical in the building today and started running Cat 5.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
So that's just a thing. So the remaining relevant is the fact that unfortunately, I am missing an opportunity to certify dogs this month because we're working cows that day. I've got the vet scheduled. We've got help scheduled, and we're going to be preg checking 120 cows and castrating probably 20 or 30 steers and all sorts of stuff. No dog training stickers that day either.
No, but I'm sure you get other stickers. That's
pretty,
you got to get some stickers for that.
You get badges.
I get badges for that. Yeah.
And there's farm badges and there's dog stickers.
Yes. So this would be farm badges.
That's like Eagle Scout level farm badges.
So the Bristol and Ducati aren't going to get certified this fall because I'm missing that opportunity because I have other things going on. And so that whole part of remaining relevant that way doesn't mean I'm not training. It doesn't mean that I'm not out doing really awesome stuff. We're also not running hunt tests this fall because guess what? All of the hunt test people and field trial people are going south because it's getting too cold. We're not ready, but we could do some fun stuff, but I'm getting ready for surgery and have cows. So. Yeah. It's hard to remain that relevant piece when you're like, yeah, I can go out. It's the nitty gritty of training. I need to go out and work on bridges, and we're going to be working on bridges for about 2 weeks.
So for you, relevance is about your quality of work and it's not your social media presence or is that part of it?
It's the quality of my work. Some of it is the justification of my work, which is the being able to go to a certification and be like, yes, boom, you got it. So that's one thing. But I also very, very much realize on my social media presence has pretty much been fairly non-existent because it's me.
Yeah, there's no big group of people behind just doing all the stuff. It's just like,
yeah.
I usually have stuff scheduled a month out. And so that's the only reason that I can keep up is so that if I have a 10-minute little window, I'll make a couple posts. And then when I get way far behind, like right now, I'm only out to October 31st. That's because we're in mid-October recording this. So
right. Well, and like last year when the reindeer litter was between day zero I could breathe to about a week and a half to 2 weeks old, all they did was ate and slept. And so I did a whole bunch of, I scheduled stuff out Thoughtful Thursdays till like the middle of March, because that's all the further Facebook would let you schedule stuff out.
Yep.
But yeah, then I got through the rest of the spring and then seminar season started and I'm like, yeah, over, sorry, can't do any of that right now.
This is like me, myself and I. It's just like,
because dog training, I think, isn't my bread and butter at this point. I don't have that relevancy fear, but it seemed like, Stacey, that you were very like, yes. How do you stay relevant or feel?
Because the thing is, I'm single, right? I have a mortgage. I have bills. I am the sole income for this place here.
The circus that is your house.
The little circus that is my house. Exactly. And not only the relevancy, but the longevity, right? Of this whole, like, sometimes you get afraid, like, is this ride? Like, is it like this, like, little, all of a sudden it's like, because it feels so big and huge and exciting, but I'm like, what if I one day wake up and it's just not that anymore? It sounds strange, but you start thinking like, it feels so vulnerable, I guess.
Yeah. Welcome to the fear episode where we get to get really real and really vulnerable, people.
Yeah. And you know, and the other thing is like, I have that horrible car accident like 2 years ago, right? And my back hasn't been the same. And it's affected my business and it's affected my ability. I've as a result, I'm like trying to do other things. I've like lost a ton of weight. I'm trying to get healthy. And, but you realize like,
and it feels very temporary.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you layer on the relevancy.
Yes.
And it's, and you realize it's like when you're basically, your business is built off of knowledge
and not a product.
It's,
yeah, it's hard.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if it's built off of that, you need, people need to kind of see you as somebody who can provide that. Otherwise, you got to find something else to do, you know? And it's always like, you know, I got to compete with my dogs, right? Because then it's also, you've got to be out there. You've got to, and the dogs have to do really well. Although I have to say like with Y, you know, well is relative. The fact that he's actually out there doing that, that is well, that is doing well. But it is, it's tough and it's kind of scary, but it's wonderful at the same time. Like, you, like there's a lot of scary parts to it, but then I wouldn't trade it for the world either. So
it's a different kind of stress than you had in your corporate world.
Oh my gosh, yes.
My corporate world, I just hated it. Like I love what I do. I love every single minute of it.
So this is kind of more the fear of the future.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the fear of the unknown. And it's the fear of like, oh my God, what if I wake up and this is all a dream and I'm back in my corporate life? Like that is my biggest fear. Like all of a sudden this wonderful, you know, dream that this has been a dream and I wake up and I'm back at a Fortune 100 company as a director wanting to poke my eyes out with an ice pick.
I don't have that fear because I just actually came up on the realization that literally about right now, 6 years ago, I realized I was going to get fired.
Yeah.
My corporate job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's, I could just read the writing on the wall on certain things that were going on. And it was a corporate merger. It was fine. Yeah. I now get to do this full time. So it's fantastic. But it's still one of those things where, and talk about fear.
Oh yeah.
And anxiety. That was horrible.
No, you realize that the job that you had was temporary and it wasn't intended to be temporary. And
right. Well, because very often anymore, it's the whole, we have the dream of going to work for a company and working there for the rest of our lives. That doesn't work anymore.
No, no. And it's constantly, well, now we're downsizing.
Yeah.
And now we have cutbacks. And we're, all that kind
But I want to give you both kudos and the fact that when you talk about relevancy and longevity, both of you are doing a great job of continuing your learning and your growth. So right. Robin with your gun dog, Stacy with gun dog and Arsa. And so it's, you're branching out and doing exactly what we've been saying is so important, is learning other things, cross-training, finding your community. So it's, So I'm really proud of you both for doing that and being a beginner in a new area. And I think that that's so scary for a lot of people. And both of you are doing that kind of at the same time. And that's, it's really cool to watch.
Thank you. Well, that's why we need this community, right? Because
I spend a lot of time, not a lot of time, but probably 3 or 4 people a month reach out to me and ask me, how do I get into search and rescue work? And I spend a half an hour on the phone with them talking about, you know, what's your why? Why do you want to do it? And it is scary to be the person in the room who doesn't know anything. And then you're there with this little black box thing that's your dog that can do phenomenal things that you don't really understand why and how they're doing it. And so when you start talking about fear that way, it's the fear of not being the expert in the room.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? Some days that's perfectly okay with me.
Yeah.
Because then I do get to learn something and I spend a lot of time dissecting things that I learn in gun dog training. Cause I just the other day I was out doing something with the dogs and I'm like, well, those bumpers didn't land where they were supposed to. And then I'm trying to figure out how do I salvage this out of something and bless their little hearts. Guess what? The next repetition, I put just a little bit more thought into my setup and they rocked it. And so the fundamentals are the same. It's just, you got to learn some of the nuances.
But being a good dog trainer is being a good dog trainer.
Yes.
And I'm finding, because now I'm doing some other things I haven't really done either, or I haven't, I mean, like, so for instance, healing, like, I did stuff with Judd and everything, but this is different, right? And the level, the type of healing I'm getting with Brava. I never got that with my other dogs. And we're just starting, but I think she's looking really good. But you start to see how, well, if you realize you don't like one aspect of it, and whether it's healing or whether it's whatever you're training. Like I was teaching girls right now, Brava and Prize, just for fun, stays to release by their name out the door into the backyard. And you start realizing how these little tiny tweaks, and this is just dog training, right? You don't have to be an expert in stays to teach your dog how to do stays. You just have to know how to break up behaviors.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, that was a tangent.
So I've been writing down, as you guys are talking, things that I'm hearing, because that's what I do. So I want you to tell me if I'm on the right track. So to stay relevant, yeah, would you say that continuous learning is part of that? Oh, staying updated on what's out there?
Oh, yes.
That's okay. That you are, how do I say it? You're like engaging with your audience, whether it's through your social media or this podcast or, yeah, but there's some way that you're staying connected to your audience.
Yeah. Correct.
I'm going to use the word adaptable. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the word I'm using because of you're okay to be the beginner in this new thing.
Yeah.
So you can be the expert, but you can also be the beginner at the very bottom and still be lenient and adaptable with that.
Yes.
So collaboration, I guess that kind of goes with the other one. I won't double it. Okay. Consistent quality. I heard that,
yes,
a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That you're keeping your quality, your standards high, and you're staying consistent in your training.
Yep.
And then I'm going to throw in, because, and I think you guys have said it, but it's the idea of being creative and having that innovative edge. And we're doing a lot of copyright stuff right now at school because I'm a high school art teacher and I'm teaching the kids about copyright. And a lot of them get a little bit frustrated at first because they're like, well, why can't I just, and then fill in the blank, because they see, like, right, well, somebody, yeah, else is doing it on Etsy. And I'm like, yes, but they're not doing it right. Like they're, yeah, they're ripping somebody off.
Right.
And just explaining why we have the copyright so that creatives can make money on things and they can have that process. But then it also allows other creatives to be able to feel the freedom to keep making things. So it's not just everything shared instantly.
Yeah.
So then I think about kind of with us, it's that same idea of, it's cool for us to have that innovative edge and that creative edge, but you have to have the energy to put into that side. And what I'm also hearing is not having the energy to put into the creative, innovative side is maybe what's making you feel not as relevant.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because it feels like that's the last piece,
that was a big sigh.
I know. And it's just like, okay, I've just been struggling with this. So that, thank you. Just, yes, distilled it.
Because you're able to do all the stuff to get through your day, but you don't have that little bit of extra oomph to put into the, I want to create something new or think about something or, yeah, make this analogy to make it clear to my students or, so I don't know. That's kind of what I was hearing.
Yeah.
The fact that I am sitting there thinking about how to run electrical circuits and making sure all of the lights in the building have power and then worrying about where cameras and Cat 5e are going, yeah, I don't have the mental, I mean, a thoughtful, yeah, Thursday for me at this point is like, hey, look, like, I train.
I need pregnant cows.
Yeah, that's exactly how it was going. How do I get the floor mop, or what do I need to do to get ready for puppies?
Yeah, yeah.
That's where all of that mental energy is going right now. And it's one of those things that,
yeah,
I really appreciate the fact that I have students who keep continually reach out to me and be like, hey, when are you going to do a thing? And I'm like, ah, I would love to do a thing. Yeah. I got to, yeah, figure out what a thing is.
That weight get attached then. And so that weight starts to feel heavy.
Yes. Because
then, mm-hmm, that relevancy and that longevity part also come into, am I meeting the standards that I've set, but also, yeah, the people expect?
Yeah.
And,
right,
and then the weight also then opens a tab that takes the creativity side and pushes it a little further away. And that's what you need to feel that creative freedom. Like, I think that's something that we all have in common is that we need to create,
yeah,
whether it's, yes, with our dogs or our posts or whatever,
yeah,
but just having the dog training chat, like, we don't even have time to talk to each other anymore.
No,
we don't.
No, that's the nice part about the podcast. I can actually talk to you guys.
It's the only time I get to talk to you guys anymore.
I know, because we just all been, it's just so crazy. And that really stinks, honestly.
Yeah.
I'd love to have more time. It's just like, because I love chatting with you guys.
So then I was listening to when you talked about longevity and the things that I heard with longevity, the healthy lifestyle. So that's for dogs and us. And that's what I'm struggling with my guys is keeping them all in shape, especially Checkmate. Woof. And then I have let myself go so far down. And so it's bad. So that's something that I really need to work on.
I had past week, I've been eating my stress.
Yes. Same.
Yeah. And then getting out of the habit of now eating your stress.
And the gut biome and all that that gets off. And then you just want more sugar. And
yeah. I mean, let's talk about the fact that a Snicker bar and a Diet Pepsi are not the breakfast champions. But
okay. I had a Snicker on my walk tonight. I'm walking to go get my truck at 2 miles away and I'm eating a Snickers. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Okay, but so that kind of should offset it, right? Like the walking 2 miles.
And then I ate macaroni because that's all I had in the fridge.
Yeah.
Because you haven't had time to go shopping.
And that's why I had Chinese food. And that's why I had Chinese food and I usually cook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I hear you. I just did a whole bunch of every plate stuff. So yeah.
Oh, so the other part that I heard for longevity was financial planning. And that's Stacy and me as being the single people that we are.
Yeah. It's because then that's the whole, but that's another thing. It's like now that's layered on top of all the other crap that you got to get done. And then it's more like, oh my God, well, I didn't do that. And now I'm getting company on Tuesday. I'm really happy I'm getting company. It's my mother. I'm really excited. But then I'm also looking, I'm like, God, I got to clean the house because like it's my mother, right?
And the fear of her thinking poorly of you.
Oh my God. It's so, how did, look at that. Just, it's gross under the hood of your stove. So I spent an hour last night when I had all this other stuff to do. I'm like, but it's, if she looks under there and she sees that, she's going to want to die and not eat my food. So
you're still alive. It's all good.
I know. And so all of you out there, you're like, yeah, I get it.
Well, the money thing is a huge thing. We're actually on year 3 of a drought. We're going into, I don't know if I have enough hay for the donkeys this winter.
Oh, and then you had those hay fires.
And then we had hay fires. And then hay, due to everything else, has gone up about $25 per ground, big round bale. So we're talking $100 for a big round bale of grass hay, which 2 years ago I was paying $65 for. And so it, all of those financial fears, that also sucks all of a lot of creativity. I mean, it opens tabs. It's another weight. And I think, I'm pretty sure people can relate, but
no, we're not. We're not. This is this reality.
It's all tied into our fears.
Then the fear of being irrelevant is also, if you do just, I feel like I get so scared of coasting. Like I just kind of like, it's just this, the one thing I do and I just keep doing it and I don't change and I don't grow. Like I'm so afraid of that. So I keep trying to grow and do new things and everything.
Which is also exhausting.
It's exhausting. Like I'm trying to get into other things and tap it and do other things. And honestly, like I see a huge, like it's so good for my dogs. It's so good for me. It's so good for exposure, but it is exhausting. It is. Not a bad thing.
Longevity, then I think we definitely add the continued learning and growth again. So for relevancy and longevity, and that's about your skill development, your new interests and hobbies. I think that all ties in so beautifully to both. And then I think the significance of building and maintaining the social connections, it's that community piece.
Yeah.
And so I think that's another thing with longevity, because if you just stay on an island, that's not going to keep you relevant or give you any sort of longevity. And I think that's also what gives all of us this kind of belonging, this kind of, I think we have emotional support, we have purpose. And I think that's what has really tied us together. What else are you afraid of? So Robin, that was yours. And Stacy, well, I guess, is it my turn?
What are you afraid of?
Oh,
the big God wolf, like what? Like who's afraid of the big, sorry.
That's the thing is I asked my friend to share a lot of the things that they're afraid of. I couldn't think of things. And I know that I have a lot of fears, like, but I'm not afraid of competition. And a lot of my friends are. And then they were like, well, aren't you afraid of maybe doing really well? And I'm like, wait, what? And that kind of tripped me up a little because there is that piece where you go, okay, some people will sabotage themselves because they don't realize it, but they don't want to do really well.
That's a thing. That's a thing.
I do get worried about disappointing others. I had that at the PSA trial because I didn't really know what I was doing. I just read the rule book. And so I even told my club, I'm like, I'm not going to wear my club stuff because I don't want to make us look bad. And not a single person there. So then what do? I wear Canine Census stuff because
Robin's safe. She's, I'm like, yeah, look at us out on the PSA field.
Because I'm like, they're known for sniffing shit. Not for biting stuff. It's about
two
sniffing
more.
Stuff.
Pretty good.
So I do have a fear of letting others down. So that's something that I have to really work through because it also ties into what we talked about in a previous episode about the fear of taking other people's time. And so I've had to really work on that I found myself doing it again on Tuesday. I was out on the field for 15 minutes and there were several of us and we have lots of dogs now in club and it's awesome. But taking that much time, I just realized, I was like, oh my gosh, you guys, I'm so happy that you have allowed me to be here with you working on these things. And they're like, uh-huh, thanks. Because I don't feel that about anybody else there. So somehow I've got to work past that social pressure fear that I put on myself that the people around me are not doing. Like they are doing nothing to make me feel that way. No one in my club, no one that I train with up in Iowa, no one makes me feel like I'm taking too much time or that I'm letting them down.
Yeah.
So that's all internal fears I have to work through.
Yeah, self-imposed.
Well, and so you were talking about that. What's really interesting is you were talking about the fear of letting other people down. And yeah. That's absolutely true. And then I realize I also have a fear of letting my dogs down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I have so much potential sitting in my kennel.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're afraid of not fulfilling.
Not fulfilling that potential, which then goes, and they can do so much more if they had a handler or a trainer who knew so much more and if had more time and didn't have as many dogs and all of these other, then it becomes a very downward thinking spiral.
Yeah, because it becomes self-judgment. It's very, very judgmental.
It's very hard. And that's one that I'm going to have to sit and percolate on a little bit as I drive to dog training.
I can also see how I have maybe caused some of that for you though, too, because I have three dogs that couldn't really do the thing. And I know there's been several times that I've said and didn't mean it. And now that I think back, I can see how it could like be undermining or under whatever of saying, if I had a dog like that, I can't imagine the stuff I could do.
Oh, and I see, I totally didn't take it that way.
I know, but that could be one of those things that goes under, like you don't take it that way and I don't mean it that way.
Yeah.
But that could be those little seeds that then, and I know neither one of us, because we're good friends, didn't think of it that way.
No.
But it's those things that I think that people say that also kind of they plant little seeds sometimes.
Well, except you think they might plant seeds, but in reality, they're not. It also tells you that a lot of times it's a dialogue that we create in ourselves.
And I didn't think about it till this very moment. Like it just, when you said that, I'm like, oh, there were several times because I was really struggling with Radish at the time. And I'm like, dude, if I had any of your dogs, what I could be doing right now.
And the answer is yes, because I know what my dogs are capable of.
Yeah.
I also look at the fact that I'm at a different stage in my training career. And because I'm starting a breeding program, I now have more dogs, because with a breeding program, you just need more dogs, right?
Yeah.
And some of the finer points of some of the training that I would naturally do, I don't have the luxury of time to do them at the moment. And I think about Talon, my very first dog, which he was basically a tiny human with fur, but that's because he was my only dog up until he was about 6 years old. So the amount of training that he got was immense.
Oh yeah.
And the whole fact that my dogs now do what they do with the little amount of training they do, I'm like, Wow, you guys are brilliant.
When I'm doing my forums, right, and I see my students and I'm seeing the searches that they do, I'm like, I want to be training as much as you guys train. Like, these are my students, and I'm sitting here like jealous of my students for how much they're training, which is crazy, right? Because they're focusing on one dog, and I've got lots of dogs. Well, a lot. I don't have as nearly as many as you have. I have four,
but still.
But it's still right, and they're all upper level dogs, and I'm realizing, like, and I'm working so hard trying to be relevant, right, and trying to pay my mortgage, which thank goodness is going to be paid off soon, and like all these other things, where it's a really weird thought to go, that's a really great search area. Wow, I would have loved to have done that search. Well, wow, look at that. You're submitting another video. You did another training session. You did another training session. And I'm sitting there going, I haven't trained in like 4 days. And that's a weird feeling.
It is a weird feeling. It's a good feeling.
Then the fear comes of, I'm not going to be able to keep up. Like, it's just, and then I've got the competition fear. Like, I haven't trained as often as I would like. And now I've got the competitions coming up and all this, right?
And it makes your brain
hurt. Then you get the fear that's generated by prior success. That one's scary too.
It is.
Yeah. Previous success is a huge.
It's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. It's like, oh, well, we can only go down from now, down from here. It's just kind of like,
I could hear my friend Nancy asking me now in my head, because she's on my shoulder a lot, right? And she'll ask about, you know, like, how does this serve you? And so I'm kind of like reflecting on that.
Nancy always asks really good questions. Occasionally.
She does.
And occasionally I just want to knife her, because,
you know, it's like, it serves no purpose other than to make me miserable.
But it does. It kind of helps me acknowledge, yes, it's good to have a recognition, a feeling, and a fear. And then how does it serve me? Because clearly I keep having it. So then there's got to be something that it's doing, either it's got to be something I need in some way.
Maybe not.
And then it is, though, because otherwise you wouldn't have it. And so then how do you then work through that and change that if that's something that you want to do? So I'm gonna make that my goal. I think that's a good goal.
I think when I start stressing over stuff, I'm going to ask myself, how would this serve me? And I'd be like, it doesn't. And I need to figure out how to reframe it instead of thinking all the what ifs, right? And feeling pressure. I need to look down at those big brown eyes looking right up at me and realize I got the best dog in the world at the end of my leash.
Right. Yep.
And that's what I need to do.
And I think mine is going to go to the place of self-compassion. So that's the place that I think would be a healthier place to go than to be afraid of the other people, letting them down, and go to the other side of, how is what I'm doing right now actually making others better and making myself better? That's my job. Look at that. I got a plan.
I learned something when I was going through my coaching school that was when I lost my job and had to go through that whole, who am I now? Because when you don't no longer have that Fortune 100 or Fortune 500 company on your business card, people really don't take your calls anymore. And you get wrapped up in your self-worth is wrapped up in your job title. And I was eating way too much sugar, which then requires me having a hot flash at 4 a.m. But then, so I would often, and when I get very stressed, typically between 3:30 and 4:15 is a typical wake up and stress about all of the stuff that you can't control. And I started calling it my hello 4 a.m. And I would wake up and I'd lay there, and the Rainer Institute was where I got my coaching credentials. It's fantastic. The one thing that I could sit there is, and I could think of, is I am safe. I am safe. I am loved, and I am enough.
Powerful.
Yeah. And so that became the little mantra. And then if you're in a position where that doesn't particularly, it's I am safe, I am okay, and I am enough. And so physically I'm safe. I am okay, meaning physically there's nothing wrong with me, and I am enough, because we don't have to solve everything all at once. And so that's something that it served me very well then. And it serves me actually particularly well coming up on knee surgery, which is always kind of scary.
Kind of scary.
Yeah. I have to rely on a whole bunch of other people because I'm having knee surgery, which I don't do well.
And it's a whole knee replacement.
It's a knee replacement. And so, yeah. So this is like a long-term, oh, holy crap thing. Let me say my dogs will probably be more excited.
So that's a big fear there too, right?
I've had 2 to 3 knee surgeries already.
Yeah.
For me, it's actually not even so much about the surgery. It's about the aftermath of surgery.
Right.
Of not being able to go downstairs, not being able to go out and do chores, not being able to do all of these things.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You're a touch independent. I don't know if anyone picks up on that.
Yeah. Don't worry. I was the one who was out there with the drill, drilling holes in the 2x4s so I could run wire today. That was me.
That is extremely empowering. Actually, I have to tell you, power tools are fun.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I only dropped the hammer on my head once when I was moving the ladder. Geez. So.
Oh geez.
Yeah. It was only from a foot or two. It was fine.
Okay.
So. I have a whole list of other fears. Do you guys have more you want to share or do you want to share some that...
I think we've been vulnerable enough for today. Let's talk about other people's stuff.
I'm all feared out.
So one of the fears that one of my friends has was that they've reached their peak and they'll never be as good again. So that kind of goes into...
The relevance thing.
The relevance. And there's Elizabeth Gilbert. She is an author and she had a really good talk about this. And it was the Eat, Pray, Love, you know, and she talked about a creative genius that kind of followed her around. It's a great talk, I think, is what it was. So if you get a chance, like, check that out. No affiliation or anything, but it's good. But I love how she thinks about things and saying that it's about living in the now and to keep going and to keep working and keep doing. And it's almost like behavior momentum. I think about like in our training with our dogs, it's the same thing for us. It's not going to serve us. And so recognize the feeling and then continue to train, continue to go, continue to do. And then what will happen will happen. And the coolest thing was, is she wrote more books and has more fame from what she's done since then. So it's really cool to see how she did this talk, not knowing what her future was going to be, and then seeing how much she's grown even since then. So that'd be my recommendation for that one, I think. Another fear was exclusion. So wanting to get into dog sports or getting into SAR and people being kind of culty or unwelcoming and just the people not being nice and not really knowing where to go even. That's a huge fear.
Yeah, because I think people get, but and I'm not pointing fingers at any one group. I think it's just in general, especially with dog sports, people, I think sometimes want to be an expert to the point where it's almost exclusionary to others. And I think you see that with a lot of people. It's kind of like, well, it becomes like this insulated thing. So I could totally see how that would be a fear of.
And on the flip side of this, there's something that I've experienced being that I used to be in a club that didn't, I don't know, sometimes wasn't the most welcoming. And then creating a club that has been very welcoming to others and trying to grow our sports and wanting to get in and create an ARSA club as well. And people will talk about how they love coming to our trials because they feel so welcome. And that's such a big push that we have. But then I also feel that on the day-to-day training, we get a lot of visitors. And that does get tiring because it takes time and it takes energy away from what we're trying to accomplish with our dogs. And we're trying to get ready for trials and things. And there have been quite a few times that I'm just kind of like, okay, guys, I don't have the spoons today. So I'm going to need you guys to be the cheering squad for this person to let them know what's going on. And I just don't have it. So I do think it's important that the clubs and communities recognize that. There was, what was it? Oh man, it was it Brené Brown? Probably. I don't know. It was a podcast, but I was listening and they said that, I think it was her, and she would say that she would come home. It was. And she said she would talk to her husband and that they'd have to make 100% between the two of them. But if she said, I'd come home and say, I'm 20%. And if he would say, I'm 50, then they would have to sit and go, okay, how are we going to make this work? Because we can't make this work at 70. And so we've really kind of adopted that with our club to say, like, look, guys, I'm like 30% today. Where are you? And then the other people can say, oh, you know what? I'm at 90. So we're like, okay, good. We're good to go. But at least it's that communication starting off. And so I think that's an important thing. If you can set that up with the group that you train with, if you have a group,
yeah.
But here that fear is of not being welcomed.
Yeah.
And I won't say the people's name, but it was on my CBK9 thread. And there was like a sub thread, sub comment kind of thing that went on about different people feeling awkward and not accepted. This little thread, it brought tears to my eyes. It was this, I don't feel accepted. I don't know how to find that. And then it was like, yeah, but when you were in Iowa, she's like, yeah, but I don't have that at home. And I don't know how to get that all the time. And then somebody else that's only like an hour or so or 2 hours away was like, come join us. And it was just this like, oh, right there on my little Facebook thread, you know? And it was like, I'm awkward too. Come train with me. And so the question is, it's like, how do you make those connections? And it was so interesting to watch it happening right there on Facebook on a sub thread of a thread. And so it does, it happens in strange places and it doesn't matter how introverted or awkward we are, but we do have to reach out to others and we have to, I think when we acknowledge, and I think that's what I thought was so beautiful about this was someone saying, I feel awkward. I wish I had a training community. And then it just started happening right there.
It's,
in that
it's a fear of rejection, right? It's a fear of not being good enough. It's a fear of being judged.
Yes. And they put that aside.
Lesser, like, we don't think you're good enough. Or yeah.
Well, and one of the things that I've seen in the search and rescue community is that because we're volunteers, a lot of our call outs and our work depend on networking with law enforcement and all of those sorts of things. And then you have the personality conflicts that start arising. And so people split off and make other teams. And yeah. It turns into a lot of people competing for the exact same call outs, which then results yes. in resource guarding.
Yes. Mm, yeah.
And people then lose sight of the mission and what true operational dogs look like.
Yeah.
And so I think that those are really hard discussions to have. And
that resource guarding is going to keep new people out because
and it absolutely keeps new people out.
Yeah.
Search and rescue in Iowa is significantly different than search and rescue in Washington State or the Pikes Peak area or things of those nature. Just totally different. So having an understanding of that is incredibly important. And it's really important to know why you're continuing to do the thing that you're doing and
to be real about it.
Yeah. Be really real about it.
I think some people aren't even realizing how much they're excluding others.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Because now that I'm independent and I've stepped back, I see a lot of things now and I know all of the teams in the area now and I see it from a whole new perspective and knowing the different players involved, I don't think a lot of people even really can recognize how they're impacting people around them. And they all have good hearts and they're all good people. I know that. So that's the fascinating part that it's, yeah, I feel like I'm like watching a reality show or something.
Yeah. We as human creatures are very, very interesting.
Oh man. Fascinating.
And what we're talking a lot about is stuff that we should have learned in kindergarten. Be nice, be polite.
Be nice, be polite. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway.
We're talking about it in high school all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's embedded in every lesson that I teach. And it is like, we're teaching it all the time,
it's a life
but
lesson.
It's a matter of how can you hear it? When can you hear it? When are you ready for it?
And how can you internalize it?
Yes. And so is it this person that finally makes that connection? And that's just got to keep trying. So it's, we're teaching it. I promise.
Well, and you can teach it, but are people ready to learn and listen?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because you figure I'm high school, I'm 9 through 12, and I'm still like that lesson, I'm making sure I'm putting it every day. It's embedded, it's there.
Unfortunately, not everybody gets to go to 2-year class.
I know.
We need to send everybody back Just go to Crystal's art class.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You know what I'm afraid of?
What?
I'm afraid of running out of time.
We are running out of time. We could probably talk about all of this stuff for like another hour, but yeah, it's Halloween.
I didn't realize that fears were going to be that easy to talk about.
Yeah.
Oops.
Scary.
That is scary.
It is scary.
A little different spin on Halloween.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We did go down this weird little thing for Halloween. So.
But there were helpful bits in there. That I'm impressed.
Oh, and now they're going to be like, wow, you three are messed
Actually,
up.
What I would really love is if our listeners would share some of a tip or a hint on how they combat one of their fears, because hopefully that will be useful for somebody else, including us. That would be greatly appreciated.
Because we're on Facebook and Instagram, and we'll have the episode post there.
We will. So please put that in all of those sorts of things. And I hope everybody has a super duper safe Halloween. And if you're not in the part or don't celebrate Halloween, have a super safe day. And
just another day.
Just another day. It's okay.
Keep it safe.
And I often wish people to have a boring day, because having
calm
days is ideal. Yep. On the farm, we really like boring. So thank you everybody for listening in, and go train.
Canine Detection Collaborative.
We appreciate the time you spend with us. If you liked this episode, not only should you follow us so you don't miss the next one, but please also rate and review us in your favorite podcast app. For info on collaborating with us, go to caninedetectioncollaborative.com. That's K9detectioncollaborative.com, where you can find our socials and pick up our latest monthly freebie. Join us again to talk training in the next episode.